بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، my brothers and sisters, I think it is Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah alayhi who said it, or one of the Salaf Salihin. He said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, He makes your good deeds seem like nothing in your eyes. He reduces the importance that you give to the good deeds that you have done. He reduces the importance. He makes your good deeds seem like nothing. And He makes your sins seem very big. When Allah is pleased with you, He makes your good deeds, whatever good you are doing. You are praying Salat al-Fajr in the masjid, you are praying Tahajjud, you are reading Quran every day, you are doing Khairat, Sadaqat, hundreds, thousands, millions, right? You are doing all kinds of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all of this look like nothing in your own eyes. I'm not talking about false modesty. You know, sometimes people say, no, but I am nothing, but in your heart you think you are everything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying sincerely, truly sincerely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is pleased with somebody, He makes their good deeds look like nothing in their eyes, and He makes their sins, whatever that sin might be, right? It's not as if you are committing, zina, or you have murdered somebody, or you have misappropriated somebody's property. May not be. Obviously, if you are doing all of this good stuff and so on and so forth, you are a muttaqi, your sins will be very, very, very small. But those sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it seem as if it is very big. Now, this is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it saves you and me from takabbur, which is the shortest way to Jahannam, and it encourages us to make tawbah wal istighfar. Now take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that he told the Sahaba, he said, make istighfar, make as much istighfar as you can do. I make istighfar 70 times a day. And in another narration, the Sahaba said, we counted up to 100 times a day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar. Now what sin was he committing? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him everything in any case, Suratul Fatha, the ayat where Allah said, I have forgiven you what is before you and what is behind you. Then why does he make istighfar? This is the issue of our own assessment about ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if Allah loves you, what is the sign of that? That you will feel that whatever good you are doing is worthless. Because in fact, whether it is worth anything or not, we will know only when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the hadith of the Salas? The hadith of the Salas is that the three people who will be thrown into the hellfire on the day of judgment is not Firaun wal Qarun, is not Shaddad or Haman, it is not this kafir or that kafir. The three people who will be thrown into the Jahannam first, the first among them is that alim who studied Quran and Sunnah and who taught Quran and Sunnah all his life. First one to be thrown into the hellfire. He will be thrown into the hellfire. He will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will be asked, what did you do? He will say, Allah, I studied the Quran. I studied the deen for your sake. And I preached it and I taught people. And he will be told, no, you are a liar. You did that to show people. You did that to get name and fame. You did that to make money. Today, and all this happened for you. Today, there is nothing for you. You are in the hellfire. The first person to go into the Jahannam is a Muslim, is an alim. Half is Quran, Mufti, Allah knows what. Why? Because he did not have ikhlas. Because he did it for money, because he did it to show off to people, because he did it for name and fame. First one to go to Jahannam, not the others. They will also go, but the first one. The second one is that philanthropist, that Muslim philanthropist, who built hospitals and who built schools and who built madaris and who built masajid and he did this and he did that. And he will be asked, what did you do? He said, Ya Allah, you gave me wealth, I spent it in your path. He will say, no, you are a liar. You are a liar. You did that so you would get a good name. You would get a big name. Big name. People will say, oh, mashallah, great man. He does all this. And you got this award and that award. And you felt very great about it. And you boasted about it. Today, there is nothing for you in the hellfire. Third one to go into the hellfire is who? The one who fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jihad fi sabilillah, and died in that process. Shaheed. He will be asked the same question. What did you do? He will say, Allah, I gave my life for you. Allah will say, you are a liar. You went and fought for your own reasons. You went and fought and you died because you wanted to be known as this and that and such brave man and whatnot. And today there is nothing for you. I remind myself and you that our deeds, whether they are good or not, will be decided only when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah loves those people who do good and who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who do good and who make istighfar. Not people who are doing evil. If you're doing evil, you must make istighfar. But people who are doing good and making istighfar. Because this is the sign of ubudiyat. Ya Allah, I did this, but this is not worthy of you. We prayed Salatul Fajr in the masjid, alhamdulillah. But can we say that this salah is enough, alhamdulillah, ya Allah, this is for you. It is fitting to you. Can we say this? Certainly, I cannot say about my salah. So, if Allah accepts this salah and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our salah, then Allah is the one who is doing an ihsan on us. We have done no ihsan on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by praying. So, also for all good deeds. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah said the opposite. He said that when Shaitan wants to deceive somebody, he makes their good deeds look very big in their eyes, and he makes their sins look like nothing. He makes the whatever good you did may not be very much. But Shaitan makes it looks like, oh my God, fantastic, mashallah, you are going to the masjid, you are praying, you are doing this, you are doing that. Going to the masjid and praying is the boundary condition in Islam. If you are not doing that, whether you are a Muslim or not itself is, we don't know. So, there is no favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Shaitan makes it seem as if it is like that. And the evil you do, the bad you do, this Shaitan makes it look like nothing. Oh, after all, I am doing all of this good stuff. I am doing so much of khairat, so much of sadaqat. I say, brother, but you know, you have this hotel, and in this hotel there is a bar, and this is haram. So what? You know, I just gave $5 million for this khairat and this sadaqat, and I built this big masjid, and I'm running this, I made this big school. So what, small hotel? So what is happening here? Shaitan is making the haram look like nothing. And that is a sign of arrogance, which is shortcut to Jahannam. People go around fatwa shopping. I have been talking about the issue of clubs which have bars and which have card rooms and so on, so which are facilitating gambling and which have dance parties and whatever else. And I have been telling people that this is haram to be members of such clubs. So there are people the world is small, so whatever goes around comes around. So people are going around fatwa shopping. The fact is that those muftis are also friends of mine, so I get to know. So they asked me, what did you say? So I said, this is what I said. And I said, the question you should ask them is very simple. See, the beauty is, this is how Shaitan fools. So I asked the Mufti, I said, what question did they ask you, whoever went? I know the names, but I'm not mentioning them. So he said, it's like we go to a hotel. If the hotel has a gym, I go to the hotel, I use the gym, I go home. So is this halal? The Mufti said, yes, it is halal. What is wrong? I mean, you are going to the hotel, you are using... No, but hotel also has a bar. He said, that's not your problem. That's a hotel bar. You are going to the gym, you go home, khalas, you are not going to the bar. He said, see, this is exactly the same. Now, my point is, even if you are doing fatwa shopping, at least tell the Mufti the truth. Because if you are telling the Mufti a lie, then the fatwa also is false. So, I told the Mufti, next time somebody comes to you, ask him, who is the owner of the hotel? That is the fundamental question. Unfortunately, our Muftis are all very masoom, mashallah. You know, they are beautiful people. They are not like me. Yeah, I came from the trash. I came from the ground. So, your reality, I know. They don't know. I've been there, done that. You haven't. They haven't. So, I said, you ask them, who is the owner of the hotel? The owner of the hotel is one person, or is that company with its shareholders who own the hotel? Right? Who is the hotel or welcome, who owner of Welcome Group? The company of Welcome Group. Who is the hotel or owner of Taj? The owners of Taj, right? So, if you go to Taj and you use the gym, are you an owner of Taj? No. Tomorrow, if the hotel collapses, if the hotel is sold, if the hotel is, turned into a masjid, inshallah, how does it affect you? Nothing. You are not an owner. I said, ask them who is the owner of the club. I said, please go do your own investigation. I will be very happy. If somebody disproves me, I will be very happy, because then I will also go and become a member of Sikandarabad Club. I mean, why should I deny myself? You know, I have no desire to do that. I said, ask them who is the owner of the club. The members are the owners of the club. This is a legal reality. It's not my opinion. I didn't make this. This is a legal reality. So, if you are the owner of the club, then you are responsible for everything which happens in the club. You are not the owner of the hotel. You are a customer of the hotel. So, therefore, you go to the hotel to have a cup of tea, you have tea, you go home. You go to the hotel to have dinner, you go home. The fact that the hotel has a bar has nothing to do with you, unless you go to the bar. But that is not the state with the club. With the club, you are the owner. You are a co-owner of the club. A member is a shareholder in that business. So, tomorrow when that business is sold, you will get part of the return from the sale. You will get as a member. Therefore, you are responsible for everything which is happening in that club, whether you are using it or not. I said, tell the Mufti the truth. Then ask him for a fatwa. The final point is, the fatwa does not change the fact. A fatwa is an opinion, that is it, period. A fatwa is not hukum, a fatwa is not a ruling. Anybody can give any fatwa, it does not make haram into halal, it does not make halal into haram. If all the muftis in the world got together and gave collectively a fatwa to make something which Allah made haram into halal, it will not become halal. It will still be haram. So, even if you get, this fatwa shopping, even if you get your compliant mufti who gives you a fatwa, that still does not change the fact that you are indulging in haram and you are running around trying to find a loophole so you can slide through it. Believe me, on the day of judgment, there are no loopholes. So, fear Allah and fear the deception of shaitan. This is what shaitan does. Shaitan will tell you, you build this masjid, you build that school, you build that madrasa, you are giving this chanda, that chanda. Mashallah, you have a beard, you have a topi, you have this, you have that, you are praying salah. So what if you are a member of this club? You have got a whole pot of milk. So what if you put one mengni, one piece of sheep dung into it? Then drink it. We apply one standard for our personal use, and then we apply another standard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'uz billah, which is a worthless standard. You will not use the same standard for yourself. That is the issue of the Allah mentioned in the Quran several times, shaitan has made muzayyan for them their deeds. Shaitan has decorated their deeds for them. So, I remind myself and you, let's stop fooling ourselves. get serious with deen, get serious with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forget about this fatwa shopping. If, look at yourself, if, and you have to look at in your own heart, nobody else can do this for you. If you feel that you are doing all this good and whatever sin you are doing is nothing, then you are sitting in the lap of shaitan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the muttaqi is one who, if he does the smallest of sins, he feels that this is like a huge rock which is on top of his head, which will fall and crush his head. So immediately he makes tawbah. He said, the one who has no taqwa, even if he does the worst of sins, he feels like it's a fly sitting on his nose. If he waves, the fly will fly away. Let's examine ourselves and see where we are headed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to see ourselves in the true light in which He will see us, and to make tawbah wal istighfar before it is too late. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.